This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Dystopical. And Fareen and I are here tonight. Hi, Fareen.
Hi. So it's just going to be us. I'm really sorry we don't have any special guests for you, but we'll just be our own special guests, and hopefully you'll indulge us with that.
I think you're pretty special.
Oh, I think you are too, darling.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I know. Blush, blush. Anyway, on tonight's show, we'll be talking about queer women in developing countries. It's an interesting issue that desperately needs to be talked about.
I agree.
Just from my own personal experience, I grew up in Tanzania. I have an ethnically Indian background. I can't go back to Tanzania because of the laws and the politics around the way that lesbians aren't included in society and are actively discriminated against. And it's an area that's very, very under-researched and very under-talked about. So I'm glad that we're able to spend some time with you guys just sharing that today.
Yeah, look, I think it's an issue that isn't talked about enough. And obviously, you can probably tell from my accent that I'm not from a developing country.
Oh, Tasmania.
I'm from a developing state. it's not the same thing. Like, we shouldn't make jokes about that. I don't feel like I have as much range of experience to talk about it as Fareen. I have a master's degree in development, and I've spent quite a lot of time in developing countries and witnessed quite a lot of different issues in those countries about sexuality. But I think it will be really interesting, Fareen, to talk to you about your experiences and also what you've witnessed, not just in Tanzania, but in the other places in the world that you've lived in and worked in.
And I guess the same goes with you. You've travelled a lot and you've maybe tried to explore the scene. So, yeah, let's just talk about ourselves and our experiences this evening.
Okay. And look, obviously, and I know we've said this before, but we can't relate the views of all queer women because it's something that's different for everyone. And this is a show that particularly highlights that because we tend to talk about our experiences from a Western perspective. However, that is not the only perspective that there is. So if you have a different point of view, if you've had different experiences, if you have experienced different things, seen different things, or you just disagree with us, please let us know. You can always write to us at dystopical@joy.org.au or dear.dystopical@gmail.com. And dystopical is dystopical.
And tonight is actually one of my favorite lineups in terms of music. So we're going to go to Africa with Angelique Kidjo.
Oh, fantastic. Here we go. What was that we were listening to, Fareen?
That's Angelique Kidjo with Black Ivory Soul. I'm going to be playing a lot of black people music and a lot of Indian people music, and I'm going to enjoy it immensely, and I hope that you do too.
Well, I know I usually do, not that I get a choice, but you know, it's pretty good. As long as you're going to play that Miriam Makeba song that I really like.
Bata, bata.
Yeah.
Of course I will.
Great. So tonight we're talking about queer women in developing countries, and I think, Fareen, you're going to lead this discussion as a queer woman from a developing country.
Oh, thanks for pigeonholing me. But yes, I guess it's something that I'm particularly interested in because ethnically I'm Indian. I grew up in Tanzania, but had, I guess, the privilege of being Canadian and living in New York. And so seeing the way that, you know, queer women have agency and freedom and whatever in various different countries. And sort of having kissed a girl at the age of 13 in Tanzania and there being a big hoo-ha about that at that time.
I can imagine.
Big, big hoo-ha. But then coming back after sort of becoming a semi-independent adult and trying to make a living and trying to make a life in Tanzania after graduating from university, realizing that there wasn't any queer community at all, whether that be men or women, and just feeling really claustrophobic and really sort of in the closet and just coming out of, you know, a relationship in New York, where everything was all, you know, lovey-dovey and out in the open, it was very, very hard. And I feel like almost as I've moved through various different countries, that there's almost a form of self-exile that I guess project on myself by not going back to Tanzania.
A form of self-exile, you're saying?
Well, I guess I could go back and live there, but it would be going back into the closet or being putting myself in danger.
Now, you've also worked in developing countries, as have I, and that's really different as well, isn't it, as a queer woman? Like, you just don't get to be out there in the same way. Is that your experience?
Well, I think it really depends on what country you're living and working mm-hmm. in.
Absolutely.
I think that there are some countries like South Africa that has an amazing constitution. In terms of just perfect constitutions, I would wager that South Africa has the best one because it's one of the newest, where queer rights are written into the constitution. And so when you're in an urban city like Cape Town or Johannesburg or Durban, there's a whole pink street, you know, there's a whole queer community. I actually went to gay church in Cape Town. Gay church and sang hymns. And some of them, like, had rainbows in them. And
you would have loved that.
Oh, my God. I was getting off on God. Like, yeah, okay, I'll just stop there. But in Tanzania, Uganda, you know, countries in East Africa, it's actively legislated against. There's acts of atrocity against women that are either considered queer or come out as queer. In Tanzania, there is no one out lesbian, although there is an underground lesbian community.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Yeah. My next question was going to be, tell me the statistics about lesbians in Tanzania, and the statistics are zero, yes?
Well, the statistics are, I mean, the reality.
The official statistics.
Well, we know, like, 10% of every population, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. But they don't actually gather information on this stuff because they don't recognize it as a marginalized community, or they don't want to accept it as a marginalized community. There's a lot of homophobia in that society. And a few years ago, I was starting to do some research on lesbians in Tanzania. And I came across an organization that was purely just internet-based and called TALESA, which is the Tanzanian Lesbian Association. Mm. And I got in touch with them and said, wow, I can't believe that you guys exist. And, you know, how did you start and all this kind of stuff? And basically, although they're out there together under some kind of web-based thing, they're not out in the community.
As in they're anonymous?
As in they're anonymous. They don't use their real names. They contact each other via email under the name of Talesa. They don't have any funding. They don't have any group activities. And what I said to them was like, well, what do you need? I'm in Australia. How can I support you? They said, we need $3,000. That's it. To get a voice recorder and to be able to send someone out into the country to talk to queer women out there and to just say, hi, we're here and we're a part of society and we're not going anywhere. And that's basically all they were asking for.
And what happened as a result of that?
Well, I haven't been much in contact with them since then, but it's something that I'm really actively pursuing as sort of, at a PhD level, I guess, is an aspiration for me to look at what it's like at a health and well-being level for women in countries like Tanzania, where there's no policy or constitution or law, in countries like South Africa, where there's more support, and countries like India, where it's kind of, you know, in between those two places, but there's a long heritage of queerness.
That's really interesting.
And heavy.
Yeah.
Should we play a song?
I think we should play a song, and it's interesting what you just said about different countries, because I think that developing country seems to be taken as an umbrella term a lot of the time. And when we come back from the next track, I'd like to talk to you more about the differences between developing countries and their attitudes towards gay women. But first, we're going to cut to a track.
Hello and welcome back to Dystopical.
So tonight we're talking about queer women in developing countries as opposed to our own, which we've talked about many times. And obviously there are some similarities and there are some differences. And because we have the lovely Farin here, as we usually do, and she is from a developing country, I think I'm going to ask her some questions about her own experiences and thoughts.
Yeah, let's talk about me.
I know, you hate that, don't you?
It's torture.
So, Farin, you're from Tanzania. And also I know that you work in international disability and gender violence and a lot of other gender-related things. So from your personal experience and also from the work that you do, can you tell us, are experiences different for lesbians in developing countries as opposed to, you know, a country like Australia?
Well, I certainly think that in a country like Australia or Canada or the U.S. or Sweden or, you know, name any other developed country that has an out queer community, things are really, really different. I think there's varying degrees of openness in various different countries. I think that countries like a lot of sub-Saharan African countries, a lot of Middle Eastern countries are actively very, very homophobic, and it's legislated, it's in law, it's in religion, it's in policy, it's in practice. There's whippings of women that have been seen to be with other women. There's honor killings. There's honor killings. It's part of, I guess, the Muslim or, you know, Arabic traditional society, and it happens in Pakistan, in Bangladesh, India, some of the Middle East. Honor is really important to our families, and if you...
Because you're Muslim, right?
Yep. I'm not a practicing Muslim anymore, but I was born into a Muslim family, and I practiced Islam for quite a while growing up. Yeah. So honor is really important to our families, and if you dishonor the family, then you don't deserve to be a part of it anymore. So you're either excommunicated from the family, or to save the honor of the family, you're killed. So those are called honor killings. Yeah.
Ouch. So that's one of those things that's it's so deep and I sound really trite, intense, that it's very hard to say anything about it that isn't trite. So I'm going to move along. And there's a question that I find really important. And we talk about developing countries. And I know, like, Farin and I actually know each other because we met during our Masters of Development. So we both, you know, academically at least, know a lot about this area. But I find that developing countries is often used as an umbrella term. What do you think about the differences between lesbian experiences in between different developing countries, and why would they be having different experiences? Like, are they social differences, cultural differences, religious differences, economic differences, et cetera, et cetera?
I think it's absolutely a combination of all of those things. I think societies that are, you know, traditionally patriarchal or have an inherent sort of religious element that is homophobic to it plays out that way. I think countries like India are particularly interesting because if you go to the old temples that have been there since before the British ever arrived, temples in this sort of area called Khajuraho, there is where the Kama Sutra comes from. You see depictions of homosexual sex as well as heterosexual sex that are actually inscribed into the brick and the walls and the foundations of these temples. And so it's been a part of society for a very long time there.
So what happened?
Well, I think that things changed as they took on more British culture with colonialization and the homophobia and the cultural understandings that the British brought with them changed the way that Indians thought about these things.
Right.
And it became less and less acceptable. Sub-Saharan Africa also has a long history of queerdom, as does you know, the Middle East and Arabia, and you know, the whole sort of Turkish Greek.
I'm guessing boys pretty much everywhere. Thing.
Yeah, you know, like we know that that stuff has existed for a very long time. It's just that we forget that that culture existed a long time ago, and we've sort of transposed Western culture onto Africa or onto Asia, and made it a very Western thing.
And we're the prudes, yeah.
And we're the prudes. How funny is that, right?
It's not funny at all.
So I feel like we should maybe break into some Indian music at this point.
I have more questions I want to ask you.
We can always talk about them later.
Okay, what would you like to play?
All right, so this is one of my favorite Indian artists. His name is Rabi. He is from Punjab, but his focus is on Urdu Sufi music, which is a religious music of Islam, from a sect of Islam that is very open. It's all about sort of devotion and meditation and that sort of stuff. And you can see that sort of flowing through his music. And he's talking about this girl called Jugni and her travels through India and throughout the world and her adventures.
Okay, let's play it.
Indeed.
And welcome back to Dystopical. Tonight we're talking about lesbians in developing countries. And, well, we kind of lied at the beginning because we do have a guest tonight. Farin's sister, Bin Haifa, has come in especially to talk to us, also about her own experiences. And she'll be doing the Dear Dystopical Agony Aunt section for us tonight. Now, obviously, as I just said, Bin and Farin are sisters. So Bin also grew up in Tanzania and is a queer woman and is going to share her thoughts and experiences with us now.
Did you just call me a woman?
Woman?
I did just call you
just
a
feel
woman.
Like a really big girl.
You are a big girl.
Oh, thanks. So I'll read the Dear Dystopical. It's, what can I do as a lesbian in a developing country to connect with others? So my sister actually wrote the answer to this, and she wrote, you can contact NGOs like Oxfam, or there's always the internet. They've got a heap of resources.
And sometimes it's the only resource.
It's true. Or you can contact us, and by us, I'm assuming she means Farin and Kat. And
yeah,
so, not me personally.
If you want to contact us about anything at all, you can always email us at dear.dystopical@gmail.com or dystopical@joy.org.au. Now, Bin, what are your answers to that question?
I think the internet's a really big resource, and also, I guess if you're new to that country, it would be hard to find someone or find that little niche to break into. What I did is when I was going back to Africa 2 years ago, and my sister and I had been researching on the internet lesbian groups there, and we found this group called Telesa. I'm actually not sure if I'm allowed to say the name on the radio because no one there knows it because it's highly illegal. Lesbian or homosexuality there is still really highly frowned upon and illegal. Until recently, people were getting stoned for it. So
getting actually stoned?
Oh, yeah, getting stoned.
Does that lead... This is the dumbest question I may have ever asked, but is this, like, stoned to death, or is it stoned as just a punishment?
Well, I assume stoned to death. When I was little... This is a really gross story. When I was little... we were driving to school one day, and there had been a robbery in the neighborhood, and some man had actually been stoned to death, and we passed this man on the way to school. So I'm thinking when it's stoned to death.
Okay, and this happens for being homosexual?
Yeah, it does. But my story was, the initial story was that when we were researching this, we found Telesa, and I made contact with them. And they started in a little back room somewhere, just a bunch of women going, we need to do something about this. And so they formed this group. I think it was in 1998, actually. 1998. And their mission statement says it's to advocate for the human rights of lesbians in Tanzania. Our main aim is to mobilize lesbians in Tanzania and advocate for the respect of their human rights.
Right.
So they're starting at the very basic level. The project they were working on while I was there was going to different villages and getting women's stories. And these women's stories would be put in local newspapers just to increase some awareness, let people know that this does happen. It's not a bad thing. Everyone does it. It's human nature. just to get more exposure. And they were
trying to kind of normalize it.
Trying to normalize
it. And I'm assuming it was anonymous.
It was completely anonymous. Like, I had a hard time contacting them, getting them to meet me, because they didn't know who I was, you know, what my intention was.
Yeah.
So I met up with these women, and they were doing this this project, and they needed things like pens and recorders and papers and a form of transport to get out to these villages to get these women's stories. And it was just so heartbreaking, you know, listening to them trying to advocate for this group when they're just being hit by so many barriers.
And just not really having any resources.
No resources. Well, they have, they've been working with several international agencies, but obviously no Tanzanian agencies. They've been working with countries like Botswana, the States, Belgium, Namibia, Zimbabwe, just to get information, to resource, to network. They do things like HIV and AIDS information and help for women. Also, they do a lot of counseling. And so to train themselves up, they were going to these other countries and other agencies to help, you know, help themselves out. So, yeah.
And did it seem like there was work that was getting done?
It seemed like there was work that was getting done. It's only because these women were so motivated for change. So there was work getting done, but it was very, very slow getting it done, because it's so hard for them to get all these resources to do these projects that they wanted to do.
Look, I just, again, it's a story that's really quite demoralizing in some ways, to think that people live without basic freedoms that we generally take for granted. But in another way, I think it's really inspiring to know that if people want to make a change, they will, despite the odds, do what they can to make that happen.
And they were fighting, exactly. They were fighting to let themselves be heard, but it was such a fine line, because they didn't want to put themselves out in the public eye, because then they'd get thrown into jail, you know? So they had to keep moving their office as well, because apparently once their landlord had found out, you know, there was a lot of these women in there and they weren't sure what they were doing, they got kicked out and, you know, the police got sent after them. So it's scary for these women too, doing these things.
Yeah. I can't even begin to imagine how difficult it must be to not be able to be yourself in the way that we get to do every day.
Exactly.
It's amazing. Look, thank you so much for talking to us about that, Ben. And as I said before, if you want any more information, please feel free to email us at dystopical@joy.org.au or dear.dystopical@gmail.com. And we're nearly done for this show. We're going to go to a track, and then we're going to come back, talk about what's happening in the next week, and what we're going to be doing on next week's show. And welcome back to Dystopical. You were listening to Fast Car by Tracy Chapman and also True to Myself by Ziggy Marley. Now, we're just about out of time for the evening, but first we're going to get Ben Heifer to do news and reviews. Take it away, Ben.
Sure. Starting tomorrow night, there's Show Us Your Riffs. That's the open mic. That's at Bendigo Hotel, and that's 7 p.m.
So that's on Wednesday night?
Wednesday night.
Yep.
Thursday night, for the younger lesbians out there, there's Alia, which is on Smith Street, I believe.
Oh, corner of Smith and yes. Gertrude.
Friday night, there's a couple events on. There's Orlando, and that's in Brunswick at the Victoria Hotel. There's also Lick 4, which is in Glenferrie, and that's the venue's called Room 680. So those are both Friday night. On Saturday, I know this is not purely gay event, but I love it. It's the Victorian Roller Derby Grand Final, and that's at the Melbourne Showgrounds, and that's 4 p.m.
And this is an event loved by lesbians all over the place.
And everybody. Everybody.
It's great.
Stitch and Bitch on Sunday.
Oh, really?
Yep, Queer Stitch and Bitch, and that's at the Shire Cafe. That's 3 p.m. on the Sunday. Also on Sunday is Anushka and Dana. I think it's Dana Kelson, and they're playing at 5 p.m. at the Empire on Sydney Road. And there's always stuff going on at the Glossy as well in Collingwood if you're looking for something to do.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Ben.
You're very welcome.
And it was really interesting to hear your experiences with an underground women's support group
Thanks.
In Tanzania.
Interesting and heartbreaking.
Yeah, both. So next week, Farin and I have decided we're going to be doing a series of shows about lesbians and their families. And next week we'll be kicking it off talking about lesbians and their brothers. Now, Farin doesn't have a brother.
Well, she's got me, which is not really a brother.
You're a sister.
Yes. You make a good point.
Yes, I. Yeah, thanks, Bin. Anyway, so Farin won't be joining us for the next show. But I will be talking with Max, as she does have a brother. And
She's got two brothers, actually.
She does. She has two brothers. And I have two brothers, both of whom have agreed to be interviewed on the show.
No way.
So that will be very interesting for me. I have no idea what they're going to say. Now, coming back to tonight's topic, queer women in developing countries, it's one of those topics that obviously can't be covered in one sitting, so we will be coming back to this again in the future. In fact, Farin's headed off to a conference in India in a couple of days, and she will be reporting back about some of the interesting experiences that she, I'm sure, will have over there and some of the things that she finds out. Now, we're pretty much out of time, so what we're going to do is finish with a song. And the song tonight is If I Ruled the World by Nuss and Lauryn Hill. Other than that, have a great rest of the week, and we will talk to you next week. Good night.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.